Okay. So how was everybody's week this week? How many Kansas City or Green Bay fans we have? You know, your heart's broken.
Cardinals.
Your Cardinals? Okay. The game was on yesterday. Brother Duffy already told me he died 1,000 deaths as the game was being played against Arizona. And Green Bay, if you saw that game, it was definitely one for the record books. And so we appreciate being here this morning, and thankful that we had a chance to go to the Omni. We're still there, and so we'll leave again this afternoon to go back down there and check out tomorrow morning. And unfortunately, we still have the kids with us, though. So, but even it's just good to get up there and not have to make up your bed, not have to cook your own food and things of that nature. So we praise the Lord for that. All right, we are going to pick up with our memory verse and then finish that chapter out. If you notice in your book, on pages 24 and 25, chapter 4 is very, very short. Anybody know why chapter 4 is so short? Want to take a guess? Yes, ma'am?
I was telling my mom.
I was looking for it. I'm like, where's my Bible?
Give me a
heart attack.
All right.
Val didn't take it, don't worry.
Because it's a simple command.
That's really it. It's a simple command. You do it and it's over. We complicate the actual issue. We do it with our emotions and with our feelings and all the trappings that go along with that. But really, it is a simple command. And not as complicated as communication, and not so intertwined as communication. You just do it, but we're going to talk a little bit more about working through that. So, amen. All right. So, anybody got a word of praise or a testimony before we read our verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13? Word of testimony, praise, anything? Anything, anybody flash? Want to jump up and shout and praise the Lord? Amen. God is good. I mean, y'all got to work tomorrow. You got to work in the Walmart, so I mean, y'all are working tomorrow. You got to work tomorrow?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's got to work tomorrow? Where you work at?
Dollar Tree.
They're not closed?
No.
Right, they're trying to make a buck. Yeah. Trying to make a dollar. Amen. All right, but everybody, the rest of us are off. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Anybody else work a testimony? Praise. Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and read this together. This was our memory verse for the week, and this is going to get us into chapter number 4. Amen. All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Did I get that right?
No.
The greatest of these. Oh, the greatest of these, not the greatest of these three. Okay. Let's try it again. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest.
These three.
I put my three in the wrong spot. All right, here we go. Let's try it again. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Says that when you have dyslexia and try to put things over here. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get started in this. Father, thank you once again for just being a great God. Lord, thank you for charity that you show towards us first, because the word of God is clear. God is love. Lord, you showed that charity, that grace, that mercy toward us. Lord, now and therefore we can show it to others. I pray you work in our midst today as we work our way towards this chapter 4, dealing with charity. Lord, most of all, help us as we finish out communication and Lord, be able to handle conversations godly, biblically, and spiritually to bring honor and glory unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, let's pick up in our book, and then we'll come back to that in our book. We're on page 22. And we were answering some questions where I was giving you pretty much my input that I had put down there. And it says, answer the following questions to help you or your spouse improve your communication with each other. So hopefully you answered 1, 2, and 3. 3 is where we left off. What would you like for your spouse to share about work or other interests? Now, we understand sometimes your spouse may work in a classified job. When I was in the military, I had a classified job, and so I couldn't unfold a lot of things to my wife about my job and what I did. I could talk about certain aspects of it, but certain aspects of it, I just couldn't tell her what I was doing. And she was all right with that. So keeping that in mind as well, no, Brother Sherb, you work still with that kind of stuff, sensitive type stuff that you can't really tell anybody?
Well, I'm not an ops, so I could talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Sometimes, brother, I know you're at Walmart, the only thing you probably can't tell us what the real price is. Is it got Black Friday coming? Raising them prices up. So for the most part, most of us can do that, amen. And so, it says, what would you like your spouse to share about work or other interests? And that should be something that you can share and something that you can tell them that, I would like you to share this. I was raised in a home where my dad taught me the job stays at the job and home stays at the home and never shall the twain mix. And so when I first got in the military and my wife said, how was your day? Fine. And I wouldn't talk about it at all. I'm like, my dad, she said that stays there. She's like, well, I need to know the people, because then we'd have the Christmas parties and all these little, and then she'd show up and she's like, who is that? This is the so-and-so. We never told me about so-and-so. Well, And so I had to begin telling her about people that I worked with and and things that they did. So when she came to one of the functions, she could match up the person with the activity and things like that. And so, sometimes when it comes to your work, some things you don't want to share, some things you do want to share, but your spouse can pray for you better if they know more about what you do during the daytime. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're at work or whatever it is, the more the spouse knows, the more the spouse can pray. Like I know Takesha works at night at the hospital to the mornings, Brother Reyes works during the day. So, they have one of those schedules where she's going to be home with the children, and when she's not at home with the children, he's at home with the children. And so now they still have to talk about the children, but at the same time, talk about their work as well. And so you always want to keep the door open. One of the things that you want to be careful that you do share, and that's your heart. Share your heart. When you're talking about your job or something like that, share your heart, how you really feel with your spouse. That way they get to know you and how you're handling things. If they don't know your heart, they're not going to really know you. And so knowing your heart is key. And so when you're sharing that, make sure you share your heart. What would be some things that you would want a spouse to share? Notice what it says. What would you like for your spouse to share about work or other interests? I put down share her heart. What is something that is good that you say, this needs to be shared? This is something that I think I would like to be shared, because I want my wife to share her heart. I don't want her to be false. I want her to, give me the real deal. Don't just sugarcoat it and make me feel good. Because if I'm feeling good because she sugarcoated, how is she feeling and not sharing her heart? That would feel so good. So what is something else that you would say, maybe this is something that a spouse should share about work? Yes?
Just share things that they're going through. Yes, that way I know what to pray for them about.
Okay, and so struggles maybe?
Yeah.
Amen, struggles? My wife knows I would come home and talk about challenging people. I had a first sergeant that was very challenging, and I'd come home and say, I can't work for this person. And my wife would say, yeah, you can. And I'm going to pray for this person. And then my wife met that person. My wife said, I don't like that person. I said, now you see why I said I can't work with this person. So I need you to pray doubly. Now you done met this person. This person is bad news. Amen. I had another person. This person's demon-possessed. He's got to be demon-possessed. To act the way he does, he's got to be demon-possessed. My wife met him. I think he's demon-possessed too. And so, you got to tell them about challenging people, because they may not have your best interest in mind. Ms. Dawson?
It's always hard. I remember in the beginning of our marriage, it was hard to just be real. Mm-hmm. Because, in our family we were taught, you act like you're all this and you act like you're all that and you don't really show who you really are, and because you don't want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like when we first got saved, I can remember when we started devotions, it was very uncomfortable for me because it was like, man, he's going to really know what I can read, what I can't read. I was very prideful. But at the same time, I wanted you to think that, you know, I had everything all together. Mm-hmm. But when I got saved, God was like, look, you don't have it all together. You never will have it all together, so just let it go. But you're taught to be that way, to pretend, you know. And I'll never forget when we sat down and read it, I just felt like, oh, man, this is really going to reveal who I am, you know, as far as my reading skills were concerned. Mm-hmm. Not that I had bad reading skills, but I was afraid that I might stumble over one word and you're going to think, oh, you know. But that is so sad that, you know, we're taught to be that way, you know. But in time, you know, God helped me to, you know, when I couldn't pronounce a word, I would just look at you and say, honey, how do you pronounce that word? But it took serious work of God for me to humble myself and not try to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, and that's true, you know. When yeah, just being honest about who you really are in those areas. And that is a good one that you want to make sure that, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, your spouse, share those interests. What is the great nemesis of the workplace? What is the great nemesis of the workplace? Of course, bad bosses, we understand that. What's the great nemesis?
The negativity.
Mm-hmm. Negativity, that is true. But there's a greater nemesis than that. Negativity is a key one, but there's a greater nemesis that we all need to be aware of, and we need to share this. And it wasn't a problem before women entered the workforce.
Gossip.
Well, gossip, yes.
Jealousy.
Flirtatious men and women. That is something that needs to be discussed, you know. Honey, I just want to let you know that, you know, this gal at work, you know, she seems to be very over nice or very flirtatious or something like that. So the wife can start praying. The last thing you want to do is show up at the Christmas party that you're having, and this girl's hanging all over you. This young lady's hanging all over you. Oh, you know, and she, who is this? Oh, that's you know, Sissy. Sissy. Oh, I mean, well, her real name is Jane, but, you know, I call her Sissy. Well, I can see why you call her Sissy. And so something like that, well, how long have you known Sissy? And how long have you known her by Sissy? Because I'm sure she didn't come up and say, my name is Sissy. And so, you know, those are, you know, you want to talk about those things that happen at the workplace when it involves the opposite sex. I remember a time that my wife told me there was a guy. They came through her line. She worked at the base exchange, and a guy came through and had a card, a greeting card. And, you know, he paid for the greeting card and signed the greeting card and turned around and gave it right back to her. And my wife came and told me, I was like, let me at this guy. I'm punch his lights out. Now, this was before I got saved, so I was going to punch his lights out. And so, you know, I'm glad she told me that, because now what if this guy would have showed up and said, oh, I gave your wife a greeting card? And then I don't know anything about that. And I go, honey, did somebody give you a greeting card? Well, yeah. And when were you going to tell me about that? What is that going to do to me?
Put down.
It's going to make me suspicious. Who else gave you a greeting card? Who else did this? And so, and be careful with the opposite sex. Share with your husband or share with your wife, or, you know, share about those peoples that may be flirtatious, that seem to be coming on to you, that seem to make you uncomfortable or whatever. And I know sometimes it's flattering, you know, we like to think, well, you know, I still got it, you know. But, you know, no, you're going to get it if you don't share it. You know? So be careful of that when it comes to the opposite sex, because that is something that can really get us in trouble. So when you look at that, what would you like your spouse to share about work or other interests? You know, flirtatious people. Go to Proverbs real quick with me and show you what Proverbs says about this. Chapter number 2. And in Proverbs chapter number 2, notice what the Bible says down here. My son, thou wilt, in verse 1, receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, thou criest after, talking about getting wisdom, getting knowledge. And lifted up thy voice for understanding. Thou seekest her as silver, searchest for as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom. the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly, keep the path of judgment, and preserve the way of saints. Notice this, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion, I gotta be wise about what I do. Understanding shall keep thee. Why? Notice this, to deliver thee. From who? From the way of the evil man. There's gonna be some men out there, ladies, that don't have your best interest at hand and your workplaces. They are only seeking to get what they can get. And they care less if you're a husband. They can care less if you got a fiance. They can care less if you've been married for 45 years. They could care less. They are only in it to get what they can get. He said, to deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of righteousness, uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their path. Notice verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. So just like the evil man, the strange woman is out there after men. Deliver from strange women, even from the strange which flattereth with her words. So the same way men are prone to fall to flattery, ladies are too. And so it's a double-edged sword. So it behooves us to talk about those things that are going on at the workplace with this overly fresh girl or this overly fresh guy and what he's doing, or the boss who's getting those innuendos. Oh boy, you look so sexy today. That is inappropriate. That is inappropriate. My, looking fine today. That's inappropriate. Yeah, no, those comments have no place. That is not professional at all. And there's a bunch of dirty old men out there like that. And there's some ladies out there as well, too. Looking pretty good in those jeans, buddy. That's got no place. And so those type of things, we want to make sure that we keep those things upboard, because as soon as that person gives you enough of that and you get used to that, then they go around and tell your spouse and say, you know what, I said these things to your spouse. Did they tell you that I said that? Now, they may or may not say that. But if they do, and then you go back and ask the spouse, the spouse says yes, what do you think? Oh, you must like them. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you like Frank, or you like Bob, or you like Sissy. So keep those things on the up and up when it comes to something like that, because there's some evil men out there, like Solomon is warning his son about, and there's some evil, strange women out there. We're trying to talk to our sons right now about the strange woman at an early age. They read the Proverbs all the time, and so you know they want to know what is a strange woman. We see the characteristics, we'll say that's a strange woman. That is a characteristic of a strange woman. That's the characteristic of a strange woman. You don't want people with those character traits in their lives. Notice what the rest of that says. verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths and unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And he said, this is what the wisdom is there for. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the path of rightness. So that's something that we want to make sure we keep into heart. What is something else that we want to make sure that we share, we'd like our spouse to share with us when it comes to that? Anything? Now, so now let's just get to the forgiving part. Amen. All right. Number four, what things do you feel you should talk about at meal times? Now, I'm speaking from a different perspective from y'all, okay? I put down positive things and humorous things. Why did I put down positive things and humorous things? As a pastor, the ministry can get very weighty. It's very serious. You're dealing with people's lives, and people have big, big needs. And that is easily weighable on a person. And so when I speak at Benefit, we want to speak about positive things. Why? I hear enough negative things. Somebody said negative in here. Who is that that said negative? Yeah, I hear enough negative things in people's lives about this person has sinned against them, or this person has sinned against them, or this person has had this going on, or this death, or this, and that ministry can get very heavy. And so when I sit at the mealtime, I want A, positive things, but then B, I want humorous things. Why? It helps balance the stress of the ministry and the heaviness of the ministry. You know, my wife, wonders why I watch cartoons all the time. Why? It's light. It's funny. It's nothing serious about it all. It's all make-believe, okay? And so when we sit down for mealtime, that's what we like to talk about, positive things and humorous things, or things that are actually productive or that are life-changing or that can help them a lot. As a pastor, as a parent, you're always teaching your children. You're always teaching them. You know, that's just the thing that goes along with parenting. You're constantly teaching. So it's positive, but also it's going to be something that's humorous, but it's also something that's going to be productive. I'm always teaching, always training, whether it's etiquette, whether it's things you don't do. By the way, there are things that you do at your dinner table that you won't do out of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Y'all agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
And children need to know that balance. What can I do? I mean, my children, I mean, they'll get up there and they'll start laughing. We'll say, okay, now there's a place for that. When we go out to the restaurant, you don't do that, you know? And you need to make sure you control that here at the dinner table, because if you practice it here, you're gonna perform it out there. So there's always that balance. You know, certain things that we may talk about at our dinner table that we wouldn't talk about outside. And so, you know, what things you talk about at mealtime? What are some things that you think you should talk about at mealtimes? Give me some input. What should you talk about at mealtimes? Yes?
I put goals and, you know, like vacations, and it's always a big thing at our house. When are we going to go on vacation? We ain't going to stay in the hotel. So we always talk about, oh, where would you like to go? What would you like to do? You know, stuff like that.
Amen.
And then I put our daily activities.
Amen. Goals, daily activities, what happened good in your day? What did you do here or there? Amen. Oh, that's good. What else? Goals, activities, something. Yes?
For us, like whenever we have guests or whenever we have like a special time, every now and then we'll just get a pizza and we'll hang out. And we make sure, like, we pray as a family, and we make sure to, what I love to do is go around instead of just doing it at Thanksgiving, doing it, you know, whenever we have someone special over, and we talk about like what we're thankful for and what happened good in our day.
Amen.
Because I feel like it then, you know, it shows them that they can focus on those things, mm-hmm. versus just about what bad happened. Now, personal family time, it's kind of all, we all talk about everything, ask them how their day was at school, what kind of things they did, what they learned, which most of the time they say nothing. But it's all kind of out there and about how their day was. Mm-hmm. And we try to focus on them versus us as the kids go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when David's home, we try to focus on like, oh, okay, well, what do you guys want to do while he's here? And what kind of things, you know, kind of things would you guys like to get done? Because the time is very precious.
Amen. Amen. Especially if you've got a job like David's, when you're not there that often, you want to make the best of the time that you do have.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that's good. Anything else? Something that you would say, Ben, this is something that we would like to discuss at mealtime. This is something I think that's important to discuss at mealtime, huh?
In a positive sense, just talking about what happened in your day, like with our kids, you know, mm-hmm. the different challenges. I like to always ask them about the challenge that God allowed them to face for that day.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Challenges. And we oftentimes will ask our children about challenges. Go to your Bibles in Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, of course, is talking about some things that we should do. And, you know, one of the things that that I have done as of late, you know, children get to that age when they pick at each other, and they're always at each other's, you know, throats and not saying nice, kind things. And in chapter 4, notice verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." So he's, in other words, saying nothing bad, nothing spoiled, nothing derogatory. But he says, "But that which is good to the use of edifying." Edifying means to build up. So I want to say that which is building up someone else or is good. But then he says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, oftentimes this is what I'll do with my children. If they say something that is not kind, I'll have them quote verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." I'll start them off and I say, okay, and be ye what? Then they'll say, "Kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ said." Okay, let's practice that. Let's practice that. Why? I want to train them that the speech that they should have should be ministering grace unto the hearers and not negativity. And so I'll say, okay, they all three of them have it memorized, word for word. Even little Faith, she's got it memorized word for word. So I hear something, I don't catch them all the time, but sometimes I'll, hey, and be what? And be kind. kind, and was that kind? No. Was God saying, be kind? All right, let's work on that. And what does that do? That helps balance them out, bringing them back to the Word of God, bringing them back to what God would have them to do. And that's a memory verse that they've gotten from their Sunday school class. Amen? Yes?
Ephesians, I'm sorry, what chapter?
Ephesians 4, verse 32 for that one. And they've had that multiple times. You know, the boys were like, well, you know, it's not fair. I said, if faith can memorize it, guess what? You can memorize it. Okay? And so if the speech at the dinner table is not what it needs to be, or if the speech in general is not what it needs to be, oftentimes I'll say, okay, be kind. Why? We're supposed to be kind as Christian folk. And so that helps keep that balance. And so at mealtime, that's how you want to try to keep things in perspective. And that's what we try to do as well. Why? We don't have enough people talking about us as it is. We don't need our own family members talking about each other. Amen. So you don't need that. Number five, about what things do you feel your mate should confide in you and keep you informed? Now, I put down problems of ministry, family problems with the children, problems or potential problems with the finances, and especially health concerns. Those are some things that I believe that my wife should confide in me, and I believe she would say the same thing. Those are certain things that we want to make sure are transmitted to each other. The, you know, the ministry, the family problems, the kids' problems, the finances, the health needs, things that I need to know that's going to affect me or my family or the ministry that God has entrusted to my care. And so those are going to affect those plans and potential plans that I make. Why? Because if I make plans now and somebody's sick, guess what? Plans are going to be altered. Okay? What are some other things that you think that you should confide in or keep informed of as a spouse? Some things?
I put schedule and days off. In fact, this morning, Miles was just telling me, he put in 4 time off to move. And I'm like, how can you do that? You don't even talk to me. No, I can't move that week. So I mean, that's why it's work schedule.
Amen. Amen. So you can move, you know. And I keep a calendar, and my wife said, "Let me have your calendar so I can get those days." Because sometimes we schedule some things, and yeah, I can double book in a heartbeat. You know, I book something, my wife books something, and now we got this. Like, oh, we can't do both of this. Yeah. We got to cancel one of these. You know, we can't. You know, oh, we got a dental appointment on such and such a day. Well, we got this on that day too. Like, you know, so I got a calendar at church. I got a calendar on my phone. I got a little calendar I use here. Got a calendar at home. But we got to sync all those things because plans have to be made. So you have to keep people informed. Mm-hmm. Seth, Stephanie, you were gonna say something?
I was gonna say, the jealousy part of it, the aspect of that when somebody talks to you, like. David has a lot of friends that were girls before we got together, and he's kept, you know, some of them, which is fine. I just like to know, like, okay, well, when they call you, you know, hey, just let me know. That way I don't, like, see something, or I don't, you know, go to get something from your phone, and I realize, oh, you talked to this person for 2 hours. Why would you be talk? You know, that aspect of it, like, let me know, hey, they did call. Hey, you know, you kind of had a chit-chat. I don't need to know every detail, but I just want to be aware of that they called, and that, you know, that way that jealousy doesn't come back into play, because I am a jealous person.
Amen. You know, and let me piggyback on what she said. Notice it says about what things you feel your mate should confide in you and keep you informed. They should have access to your passwords, to all your emails. They should have access to every text message that you have. They should have access to every document that you receive from someone else, especially the opposite sex. There should be no secret, because if there is a secret, what's going to be the suspicion? Something's going on. What do you have to hide if I can't see?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a private birthday party, I can understand. But other than that, you know, my wife has access to all of my accounts. She has access to all of my stuff. She knows what all my stuff is. And I have nothing to hide. You know, I don't have to running. Oh, let me get that phone first. Oh, oh, here, honey, before you delete something. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I need you to re-say that.
Access to all the passwords and all the accounts, all the text messages. That there should be an access to that. There should be whatever I have access to electronically when it comes to social media. My wife should have access to all of my social media contacts. I should have absolutely nothing to hide. Now, I understand that as a pastor, certain things are personal and confident, but because my wife and I are one, any item that I deal with that's a lady issue, she knows. You know, and she's not going to tell anybody. It's just a personal confidence that she is the first lady of the church, and she needs to know what's going on with the ladies of this church. And so what I know, she will know in that respect. So there's no secrets in that respect, okay? Now, there's certain issues that are very, very confidential that she doesn't have a need to know as a pastor. Now, if she doesn't have a need to know, she won't have a need to know. But she knows, and she has enough confidence in me, that if she has a need to know, she's going to know. She's not going to stumble across something and say, oh, I can't believe what I read in this. You did what, with who, when, how, why? She has confidence that that's not going to happen. Why? Because she has access to everything. You know, and I'm not going to hold any secrets back. And so when it comes to that, especially in the age that we are, there should not be a special Facebook page that I have. There should not be a special email account that I created just for these folk over here. There shouldn't be another phone number that I have with another phone number over here that I bought at Walmart, you know, with a track phone or whatever. Got a track phone in my back pocket that I keep that I make all my, yeah, that should never be. Mm-hmm. You know, that should never be. You know, what was that? I saw that Annette, let us watch that War Room movie. And the gentleman, Tony, got that phone call, and, you know, boom, there it was on his phone. And then found out that somebody in Atlanta saw him, and he picked up her phone. Now, granted, she didn't have any passwords on it, so he saw it. Hey, you know, I've been found out. And she didn't say a word. She's like, I'm going to let God beat you, amen. And so because she didn't have anything on there, he saw what was there, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a password on mine that, you know, for my children, but my wife knows. Well, my kids are the age where they can read. Now, certain things they don't need to read that I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with personal lives. But my wife knows every password that I have. And if I get another one, I'll say, honey, this password changed to this. This password changed to this. What happened? Well, I forgot what password I put, and I had to create a new one, you know. So, you know, when you look at that, what things do you feel you may should confide in you and keep you informed? Stephanie brings a good point. Anytime you're dealing with the opposite sex, you want to keep your spouse informed. Why? Somebody may find out, well, I saw your spouse talking to, you know, so-and-so. Oh, you're talking to so-and-so. What was that all about? Oh, it's not important. Well, yeah, it is important. Inquiring minds want to know, okay? So that's something I put down. You know, it affects your plans or potential plans or something like that. And still, you want to keep things above board. And notice, we're still at Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse number 30. If I keep something hidden from my spouse, notice what it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How can I grieve the Holy Spirit and keeping things hidden? Because the Bible says there's no more twain but one. And so we should share. And the Spirit of God should be grieved if I can't tell my spouse something. Mm-hmm. Why? Because now they're going to wonder, why can't I tell? What's going on? And then he says down here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What can happen? If I don't share, bitterness can start to well up and swell up in me. I'm bitter. Jealousy, as she said, can build up. Envy can build up. Now, I'm envious. I've got to be careful with that at church around other children. Why? Some of the children say, my children may say, well, look, you spend more time with the children at the church than you spend with me. And the children can get bitter about that. Teachers have to worry about that same thing. You got students in your class, and then your child is in that class. You spend more attention on them than you do on your own kid. Well, you talk kind to them in class. When I come home, it's rah, 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 rah. You know, and then they think, well, something wrong with this. Why do you speak kind to them, but then you don't speak kind to me at home? And they begin to put the pieces together, and they become bitter. And so we've got to be cautious of that and careful when it comes to that. And so keep that in mind as well. Let's move on to number 6. What area or areas of your relationship do you believe you need to have more communication? And now my wife and I think we have tremendous, tremendous communication, but I put this. We need to have more communication, and she would agree with me on this, just about us. Mm-hmm. We get together, we talk about ministry, we talk about the kids, we talk about the finance, we talk about the health, we talk about the this, we talk about that. It's like, let's just talk about us. Put that up. And then we start talking about just us, and then always rabbit trails or something.
Yeah.
Like, and bring it, reel that thing back in. Yeah. Let's just talk about, look me in the eye, me and you. How much do you love me? Let me count the ways, you know. And so, you know, that is one area that I know we need to improve upon, because it's so easy to talk about everybody else, you forget about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know for us, we need to talk just about us. You know, mm-hmm. You can always talk about the ministry, you can always talk about people, you can always talk about the job, you can always talk about stuff, but just us, just me and you, you know. Let me rub your feet or whatever, like the girl said in the war room, amen. What did somebody put down for that one? Need more communication, what would you say? Something there? Okay, preacher, that might expose me, yes.
I think to have to do with like fear and vulnerability, things that put us in a place where they actually have to see us.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times as wives, we sugarcoat things. We tippy-toe around them, and we don't want our husbands to worry about it, or we don't want to put that burden on them. And so for me, I think personally, it would be just my fears with David. Like, just mm-hmm. share the things that I really am worried or concerned about.
Amen.
And put it out there, because a lot of times I sugarcoat it. Like, oh yeah, no, I'm perfectly fine. Everything's good, you know, and I try to not burden him.
Amen, amen. And that's a big one. I mean, and I'm the same with my wife. I don't want to overburden her, overtask her with ministry alarms, so to speak, and so I won't say anything, or how's this going on? It's going fine. Well, I don't want to alarm her. I don't want her to get upset or something like that about a certain issue that she has absolutely no control over. So you got to find the right time, the right way to share those type of sensitive things, because it is one of those things where you don't want to alarm, you don't want to put them off on the deep end, but there's a balance in how to share that. And so you got to find that right time, that right opportunity, and that right way to share some of those things so that it's not overwhelming. It's not taxing. You know, I can sit down and my wife say, well, how you doing? Oh, fine. Oh, by the way, you know, we're going to be doing this on this date, and this on this date, and this on this date, and this on this date, and, you know, in January and February and March and April, and so put that on your calendar. She's like, can we just talk about what's going to happen today? You know? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. And you know, see, to me it's important because I want to put on the calendar, but she's looking at it, whoa. Baby just needs a new pair of shoes. You know, just go to Walmart, pick up the shoes, you know. And so I can make a lot of long-range plans, but I've got to be careful how I share those long-range plans with her as not to overwhelm her. And so need for more communication. Now, number 7, what can you do beginning this week to improve your communication in the above area? So, you know, take an account of, you know, 1 through 6 and see, okay, how can I make some improvements on communicating in those areas. Notice that last paragraph, top of page 23. All decisions in a marriage should be the result of clear and honest communication. There should be mutual agreement about any important decision made in a marriage. God will probably give you a mate with strengths where you are weak and vice versa, which he has done that in my life and probably in yours. One may be good at considering details while the other is not, and one may be impulsive while the other is more calculating. That is definitely my wife and I. Therefore, if both of you do not agree on the decision, maybe a sign God wants you to wait or at least reconsider something. Maybe not move into this so quickly, okay? Whenever you cannot come to an agreement about a decision, you should seek the advice and counsel of a mature person you both respect and admire. 8 and 9, I give you 2 Bible verses there. Of course, Proverbs 13:10, that was a memory verse. Only by pride come a contention, but the well advised is wisdom. And then Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Then number 10, list 2 people you would be willing to go to for counsel or advice. And let me encourage you, one of those 2 people there should be your pastor. One of those 2 should be your pastor and or your pastor's wife if you're a lady. Those should always be the first place that you go. Why? The Bible says that I am responsible for you as God's sheep. And I am the under shepherd. So the first stop that you should make as your counselor is going to be your pastor or your pastor's wife. Say, pastor, pastor's wife, this is the situation here. What should I do about this issue here? Can you give me some guidance, some counsel? Now, the Bible does say there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Okay? But your first stop should always be your pastor. Let me give you a verse here, Hebrews, and we got to close with this. Hebrews chapter number 17. And Hebrews chapter number 7, I'm sorry, not 17. Hebrews chapter number 12. And, is that the one I'm looking for? Okay, that's not the one I'm looking for. The one that says where they watch for your shoulders. Which one is that? Hebrews. Oh, 13, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, that's what it is. 13, 17, sorry about that. And the notable says 17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, they watch for your souls, as they that must give what? Excuse me.
Account.
Must give an account. That means I've got to give an answer for you who have entrusted your lives under my stewardship. As they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, notice that, and not with grief, that is unprofitable for you. So God's going to call me into question and says, this sheep over here, little Stephanie sheep, what about them? A little Takesha sheep, what about them? A little Annette sheep, what about them? And it behooves you to keep me informed with counsel so that I can go to God intelligently and say, God, this is what's going on in your life. This is what I've attempted to do. But if I don't have a clue what's going on in your life, guess what? It's not going to be profitable for you. That's what he says. And so that's going to be the verse for this upcoming week, Hebrews 13, 17. It's long, I know, but we can do that. I put down the Baldwins, the Nelsons, the Bennetts, the Sturtzbaughs, the Armstrongs. These are all pastors. The Morrises and the Joiners. These are all pastors and pastors' wives that I normally go to seek counsel. Not to mention I go to my mom and my dad as well. My mom and my dad may not be able to give me the spiritual counsel, but they give me experiential wisdom because they've lived longer than I have. And so there should be a set of counselors that you can go to, whether it's mom or dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, another pastor in a neighboring state or something like that. But most of all, you should have your pastor and your pastor's wife down in that blank there. Amen. All right, Hebrews 13, 17 is going to be our memory verse for next week. We're going to talk about forgiveness. Hebrews 13, 17, we're actually going to get into this chapter for once. Amen. All right, any questions on communication? Hopefully this is going to make us better communicators, make sure that we're sharing things that we ought to share, things that we should not share, making sure that we're running that through the Word of God to make sure that maybe is something that we shouldn't share, but there should be very, very little that husbands and wives don't share. Very, very, very little, extremely little. And it would be appropriate to discuss just about everything that you talk about. Amen.
Sometimes, when a husband and wife knows the spouse, sometimes you can't share everything. You have to kind of be vague until they grow in a certain area, too. Mm. You know, because they could be weak in a certain area.
Right.
And so you don't want to go and flood them with something that they can't handle.
Amen. Amen.
That's something to keep in mind.
And Ms. Dawson brings up a good point. A spouse may not be spiritually mature enough to handle certain things. We have to have the discernment to know what our spouses can and cannot handle, and when they can and when they can't handle it, and what I should say and what I should not say. So I've got to be spiritual enough to know, okay, I don't want to keep them in the total dark because of this, but at the same time, I want to make sure that this balance is provided. Thanks for that input, honey. I appreciate that. Because that is critical as well when you're dealing with your spouse. Last thing they want to be is caught off guard about something that they should know. Okay? Amen. Hebrews 13, 17 for next week. Let's meditate on that, and we'll pray. Father, thank you once again for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for these couples that have joined this morning. God, give us that discretion that the Bible talks about. Give us that knowledge and that understanding and that wisdom, Lord, that comes from the Word of God. Help us to be kind one to another, Lord, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, you, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us, Lord, help us to love our spouse unconditionally and communicate to them in only the way that you would have us to. Thank you. Now bless the morning's services in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Champagne, you got all that down?
One of our biggest things is